Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I received a message from a listener, Cecil, and he said it was really, really bright and early this morning. Cecil obviously was thinking about things, and he says, good morning. Do you or one of your expert analysts think that anti-Semitism in South Africa could rise to the terrible level being experienced in Australia? And the question I thought was really relevant and really pertinent, because obviously the Jewish world is very connected. We feel the pain of our Australian brothers and sisters. We feel the pain of Jews in Israel, in every country in the world. We are very connected. But we're also connected because we're anxious, and we live with one eye always open on trends, on levels, on communication. So it is not surprising that not only are we worrying about people, the Jewish community in Australia, but we're also wondering about the impact or how relevant it is to us. Joining us this morning in order to plot this, some form of an answer and some thought around it, is Wendy Kahn. She's the National Director of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Wendy, thanks for making yourself available on short notice. But I just thought it's such an interesting and pertinent question. Yeah. I'd love
it
your
certainly
thoughts.
Certainly is. Mm. So I wanted to just start by saying there is no nevuah, there is no prophecy.
Absolutely.
So I'll give you my thoughts, but, you know,
100%.
Things change.
Yeah, these are discussions.
And there's no, I was just thinking about it, you know, I go to a lot of international conferences, and I remember going to conferences 15 years ago, and I would come and I would talk about the horrific situation on our university campuses. And I remember saying, you need to start preparing in other countries because this is going to come your way. And the Americans and the Canadians turned around to me and they said, this would never, ever happen on our campuses. And today our campuses we have managed through very hard work to get them to a place where they are probably the most Jewish-friendly campuses in the world. And you know exactly what's happening on their campuses. Mm. So I think we've all got to have that degree of humility to say really know. But there are a few factors that I just want to share with you that I think are different. The one is your average South African, they don't hate Jews. We are not in the same culture, certainly in the European countries, where there's still that sort of grain of hatred from their Nazi past, from the whole issues around the killing of Christ and all of those kind of ideas. We certainly are removed from that. And I think there are religious people here. There are people that understand who the Jews were. There's a warm feeling. There's a good feeling towards Jews and towards Israel in the majority of South Africa. And I mean, I can talk on this for hours, particularly based on what I've seen in the last 2 years, the kind of warmth that we have experienced from many people on the ground. Mm. I'm not talking about the ANC politicians, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your average South African.
So your average,
and that's the first thing.
Right. Okay. So the first thing is that we don't have this inherent. We're not seeing this inherent generational hatred. Right. Got it.
Absolutely. Right, that's number one.
Number one.
Mm-hmm. Number two, the second thing is that we do have laws that protect us in this country. And countries like the States, for example, they have complete freedom of speech. We don't have that here. We have hate speech legislation, and we use that hate speech legislation continuously. I mean, whenever we can, that legislation, the Jewish Board of Deputies has been involved actually in one of the cases that has set the precedent for the way that hate speech is used in this country, and that was the Masuku case, which is one of the pivotal cases in our country, that and the Quilani case, of course. And those were important parts of creating a framework that we can, when these things start to happen, that we can nip it in the bud.
Right. So the hate, and we're going and align that to the Constitution as well. The fact that we are so protective of our freedom, the freedom of expression, freedom to of worship and religion. Very important.
Correct. So our Constitution, so they have the laws and also very importantly, the constitutional bodies to enforce those laws. So in our country, we've got a very, very advanced Human Rights Commission. And the Human Rights Commission is a place that you can go to. You do not even need a lawyer. I mean, we do, of course, use lawyers when we go to check, you know, to work with our teams. But right. You don't theoretically even need a lawyer. And it's an unbelievable quick process that you can get results and you can get findings. And those findings are binding. So, for example, when Masuku got his finding of hate speech in the Human Rights Commission, he couldn't get a visa to go to certain countries afterwards.
Wow.
It's a very powerful tool. It does.
Right.
And then, of course, the equality courts that we have used so frequently. Obviously, they're not perfect. But we certainly, I mean, we got a judgment in the Western Cape a couple of months ago against a comedian. We were able to get that judgment. And if this man does not comply with that judgment, he will go to jail. So we do have that in our country. That's the second point that I wanted to make.
Right.
So incidentally, the Human Rights Commission, just this week, we took a matter to the Human Rights Commission. We had a mediation with the individual. It was a very successful, very professional, very efficient, and we got an outstanding outcome. We're just waiting for him to comply with what he has got to do, and then we will make it public. But it was a very, very good experience that we had there. So that's the second.
Right.
And then I think the third is that the Jewish Board of Deputies is absolutely resolute in terms of dealing with these kind of issues. We do not let anything slip by. Yes, there are some cases where, although we recognize them as being anti-Semitic, they don't conform to the legal definitions, and we are not able to take them for whatever reason. But we always find some way that we can advise the victim on how to deal with these things. Sometimes it's a workplace thing. Sometimes it's a neighborly dispute. We use all different types of, I mean, we've got a complainant at the moment that we're dealing with an employment issue, and we're going to be working with her through various structures to support her in taking up this particular issue, which we consider to be discriminatory. And I think, you know, we had a situation also quite recently of somebody who had undergone quite an awful experience around anti-Semitism. And she made a comment to us in a meeting that we had yesterday. And I just wanted to share it with you. She said, at least someone noticed and took it seriously. She spoke to one of my colleagues and she said, at least someone noticed and took it seriously.
Right.
And I think that for me is really important, that we have the ability, maybe it is because our anti-Semitism levels are so low that we maybe have less cases.
Right, there's not a tsunami of cases. It could be.
But we do, but I think that it's a vicious cycle. Because we take it so seriously, we are certainly able to keep those people see that there are ramifications for hating a Jew.
The other aspect I would add to it is some of our other community structures, our CSO, who have been dealing with this, as you've said, because we are almost canaries in the global in the world, or ground zero in many ways, because of the Durban conference, and because we've been dealing with this type of thing for years. So the systems have been in place to prevent active attacks and things like that.
I think that's absolutely correct. You know, our levels of violent anti-Semitism are very low. I mean, most years we can go without an incident happening. Post 23, obviously, we have had those. It's 7 October. We have had an increase, but I'm talking about an increase to maybe 5 or 6 incidents that we had. But yes, I think the fact that our shuls and our schools and our institutions are so protected, I think that we are in a much better position than some of these other countries. They completely open and anybody can march in and put in an explosive device.
Yes. So overall, because we do need a wrap, and Mukundi's telling me he's got ads, but overall, just to paraphrase it, you're saying there is no guarantee. You can never say anything for certain. That said, there are a number of factors which you have listed that says there is a difference between South Africa and, for example, what they're seeing in Australia. And those factors are legal, they are physical, they are, and they are also historic, and talk to the people of the country. And that the biggest factor being that South Africans themselves are actually not anti-Semitic, no matter what the press or anyone else tries to achieve.
Yeah, there's a small minority, very vocal, very aggressive, but we have to realize that they are a small minority.
That is where we leave it, Wendy Kahn. Thank you, as always, and as I said, thank you for making yourself available at such short notice. Wendy is the National Director of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies. And just like that, it's time for me to love and leave you. Go have the best Thursday possible. Make it count. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Don't be late.